Hi, my name is Mark. I'm the Prepper Guy, and this is a Prepper Guy podcast. In a world that's always changing and full of fear and confusion, and especially when it comes to prepping, I am a minimalist, and I like to be ready for anything that life may throw at us, whether it's bad, the end of the world, or just a flat tire on a deserted road. Well, good morning, everybody. This is Mark Boyle. I am the Prepper Guy, and I wanted to change up the approach, I guess, to my podcast, because I've been doing a radio show, my show with Don Lowry and the Two Crazy Guys, which is on radio and also listed on my podcast page at theprepperguy.podbeam.com. I'm pretty sure that's where they're all hosted now. I've done too many podcasts just personally for the Prepper Guy. So with Two Crazy Guys, we talk about politics and we keep it kind of light and we try to find some way to look at going down the rabbit hole that's just not the usual talking points. But we don't go into a rant for an hour on just, you know, one of us being pissed and ranting about things that are affecting our country. But personally, for the Prepper Guy, I am tired of playing nice or trying to, just talk about certain issues in a more, politically correct way, because, you know, everyone gets pissed off if I say shit, fuck, or damn. But, you know, when I look at the country and I see what's going on in the country, there is a war going on, and I'm kind of pissed about the bullshit that's happening. And we all know that as patriots, that there is a war going on and it's being fought right here on American soil. The problem is our enemies within. They're the people that we have elected, and they're running roughshod, and they're just screwing up the country that you and I live in. And it's just damn annoying. You know, it's like fighting the predator from the movie, you know, to where you can kind of see it if you're looking right at it, and it's camouflaged so well that, you know, you get a little bit of a pixelated kind of image of where it is and the shape it's in, but you really can't see it in the minute you try to, you know, go, what the hell is that? It moves, it disappears, and you don't see it. And that's what kind of enemy we're fighting in this country right now. And we're so busy trying to maybe put a name on it, because that's, you know, typical strategy of war is, you know your enemy and determine their forces and their strengths and all that. But we can't do that. We really can't do that in America, because our enemy, their forces are the mainstream media, politicians that are corrupt, backroom deals that are just, you know, going in every direction but the direction we want our country to go in. And then as patriots, we're all divided and scattered to the wind, which is part of the way they want to fight this war. And we don't see it. We're just like, oh, my God, you know, we're being screwed. It's like, yeah. So, you know, Glenn Beck, you know, you got to kind of like the fact that he used to, you know, uncover interesting factoids. But then he went, you know, crazy and started, you know, having his own agenda. You know, it's nothing I got against the guy, but, you know, he kind of sold out as a corporate tool, in my opinion. But, you know, he used to talk about the Fabian Society, you know, and they want to remold America into their image, you know, an image of them and what they believe in. And then you have all these cabals, and you have Soros and the Clintons, you know, and they got their agendas and their plans. And it's like you it becomes so diffused and so distracted. And so you turn to any source you can to get intel. And it's all skewed, because that's part of the plan to destroy America, is to give us, you know, sleight of hand, misdirection, false information. It's a psyops program, and they use it really well. And we are woefully unequipped to fight this battle as individuals. And God only knows that if you try to group together and put together a plan, they're going to brand you as some whack-a-mole, crazy ass, you know, militia or terrorist group or whatever they want to do. And they did that to the Oath Keepers. They've done it to the Three Percenters. They put a label on them and then they tear them apart. And anything that happens bad, they try to make it look like it was one of those crazy groups. You know, that's what happened in Waco. You know, he was just it wasn't even a militia. He just happened to have some guns. They wanted to talk to him. He didn't really want to let them into the compound. But, you know, he went to Denny's every Sunday and had breakfast. They could have talked to him. He went out and preached at other churches. They could have talked to him. No, they wanted to make an example of this is what happens to you in America if you think that you're going to run roughshod over the federal government. You are wrong, and they will burn you down, quite literally. So you can't do that way. You can't fight that war that way, and we can't all get together and put together a plan. But, you know, we don't need to know who the enemy is. You can't really see them because they're invisible and they're stealthy and they're definitely well-funded with our freaking money. And so how do you fight this? And I think the only way you can fight this is to pick a point, you know, your moral code, your patriotic code. What do you stand for and what do you believe in? And you go, I believe in America and the Constitution, not the Constitution that's been jerked around and screwed up and fucked over for 200 plus years. I'm talking about freedom, liberty, and our rights to own guns, our rights to own property, our rights to free speech. That's it. That's your mission plan. Keep those in focus. And if you're talking to somebody that thinks about the Green New Deal or the Constitution, then they're off in la la land. Just ignore them and go on and fight and try to take out the enemy in other ways without getting drugged down their BS stupid alley that they lead you down in the dark and then they beat you to death and you're out of the equation. Look at the Jesse Smollett thing. Now the lawyer's saying, well, you know, his attackers might have worn whiteface. It's like, excuse me, this has all been resolved. We've talked to his attackers. He paid them. So if he's paying them now to say something different, who cares? I mean, really, who cares? But see, they're taking the issue and they're redirecting and misdirecting it to where now we'll go, oh, well, you know, if they were wearing whiteface, then it would be understandable that he thought they were Trump supporters and yelling these racial slurs. And so it was a misunderstanding. Well, it's not a big enough issue to really give two shits about, you know, because this stuff happens all the time across America. I mean, there are 300 plus million Americans screwing shit up. The point is this is a tactic the media uses and the legal system use to misdirect you. So if they're talking about the Trump and the Mueller investigation, well, it's concluded. We all sat by patiently for, you know, how many months, 2 years almost, to let this thing run its course to where we could get to the bottom of it and go, okay, this is what happened. This is what did not happen. Okay, can we go on with our freaking lives now? Well, obviously not, because see, now the media and the yahoos that run the media and our corrupt ass politicians and our 13 or 14 useless Republicans that are just jumping ship. Of course, Jeb Bush, you know, who would expect him to turn on Trump? I mean, because he got his ass handed to him in the debates because he's useless and he's part of this big cabal, you know, so nobody cares what he thinks. But now they're, you know, you finally get the report and it's issued and you're like, oh, thank God. Now I can go back to actually feeding my family and quit worrying about this shit. Nope. The media is going to misdirect it just like they're doing the Smollett thing. You're going to go, well, you know, we don't know if all the answers are in there. You know, did he do a complete investigation? We want to see it all. And there's still something there. There's a there. We just haven't seen it yet. Well, what do I care? We hired a group to investigate it, which was totally unfounded. And there was no real reason why there should have been an investigation based on the bullshit evidence. But now they want to drag us across the parking lot again and start beating us in the back alley behind the store until we all surrender. Like, I don't care. Just leave me alone. Trump's a bad guy. Okay. You know, sleep deprivation and starvation from facts will end up making you just go along with anything. And that's what they're doing. They're just going to wear us down. So how do you fight this? How do you freaking fight an enemy that is so well funded, so well organized, and so out there in your face every day? And these are the people we elected that are doing this shit. You know, it's not just these, you know, evil actors like Dr. Evil and George Soros. No, these are people we elected that have these secret little meetings going on in these backroom deals. So what really pisses me off is, see, I'm listening to an audiobook called The Trackers, and it's, you know, it's a four-part series that I, you know, started listening to because it, you know, it's like four books for the price of one. Why wouldn't I? And so the book is really great and awesome, except for the preppers, you know, in the book. You know, they make, in my opinion, bad choices. They go into really unsurmountable odds type of situations with no backup, no help. They don't scope it out for a couple of days to see what they're walking into. So they get captured and there's all the drama and all that. And so it irritated me to see certain people die in the book because, you know, they went off half cocked and, you know, had this, you know, sheepdog mentality to where they're going to save everybody. But then again, everyone gets hurt, you know, or dead. So that pisses me off. But the thing in the book that really is good, and I see this in all of the end of the world type genre books that I listen to. First of all, you know, whoever wrote this, and it's Sansbury that wrote the book. I don't know why the militias always have to be these skinhead neo-Nazis or a bunch of redneck hillbillies that got no brains. And the militia, who should be the good guys, end up looking like the problem. And that irritates me because militias should not have this bad rap. Now, a lot of militias out there suck, and they're full of stupid people that are skinheads, or they are, you know, almost more of a gang than an actual militia. But I think for the most part, the quieter militias that are out there are actually true patriots, and they want America to go back. Now, the neo-Nazi main militia in this book series are obviously, you know, anarchists, and they want America back. They keep saying, well, we want our country back. But they bring such a hideous, you know, mindset with them to where it wouldn't be the America you grew up knowing and loving, where there's free speech, right to bear arms, freedom, liberty, private property laws, and all these things that we value in America as fundamental. I mean, we have to have this for our society to function. They're railing against the fact that, you know, corrupt politicians have screwed things up. But if they got their way in the book, it's going to be just as screwed up. It's just going to be screwed up their way. So you can't just go joining some militia or creating a militia that has a slanted viewpoint. And that's why I say you must have a focal point. You must have values, and those values must be in line with the original Constitution of the United States, not this shithole mess that they've created over 200 years. It has to be freedom, liberty, rights, a limited, small federal government, not this bureaucracy and this leviathan that we've allowed to be created with this massive military-industrial complex that runs roughshod over any country to go in to help. And then the other thing that really irritates me in the book is the politicians. You know, they're because there's been an EMP, the world has, you know, at least America was hit by an EMP. The rest of the countries are fine. So now they're bringing in aid, and the president elect pro tempore, I guess, has making deals with China and other countries to get food and rebuild our infrastructure. So their big push is rebuilding the power grid. Well, I'm sorry, but there were cattle ranches and chicken farms and pig farms and plant farms way before there was electricity. So the main focus does not need to be getting the power grid back up. It's getting people fed. And so this rush to rebuild the power system is creating these deals with China in the book, to where they're bringing in, you know, big generators and these huge transformers that actually are bigger than the ones on your telephone pole. They're the very large ones that run an entire grid, and the status, or SCADUS, I think they're ready to pronounce, to get the power grid up and running. But it's not going to help, because you've already lost 30-40% of the population. And now all the population, being the dumbasses that we have become over the, you know, generations of apathy and entitlement, you know, they're all standing at these FEMA camps overthrowing these security zones that they're called in the book, you know, to get food. And then the military is like, well, we can't shoot at them. We can't defend ourselves because they're U.S. citizens and they just want to feed their family. It's like, well, I'm really sorry, but if your family is hungry, you don't go wait in line at a FEMA camp. You go out and you hunt and you grow and you forage and you feed your family. But see, the mindset in the book and by the author and in people in general in America are like, well, we need the government to tell us, you know, where to hunt, I guess. I don't know. So I wouldn't be that apathetic and sitting around going, well, I'm starving. Let's all go to the FEMA camp, or let's go walking down the highways asking people to help us. And that's the problem in the book. You know, even the people in charge of the small community are always trying to make deals with neighboring communities and walking into these traps, because they're not smart enough to realize that in an anarchy situation, the neighbor or the community next door might not be as friendly as you maybe weirdly preconceived that they're going to be. Like, well, we need to fight off all these looters. Well, maybe the community next door are the looters, so they don't do any reconnaissance or nothing. They just go walking into a trap and getting screwed, instead of the community saying, we need to lock down, we need to protect our assets, we need to kill anybody that comes in here. And if all these refugees are just walking into my small town going, we don't have any food, it's like, well, then you're a dumbass, just like the person standing at the street corner with the sign that says, we'll work for food. No, if you would work for food, you would probably be at work. So I would have no sympathy for people coming to my town as refugees going, we need a place to live and we need food, because the world has kind of ended. 40% of every home that you see on the road are unoccupied because 40% of the population died. So you don't need a roof over your head, because there's hundreds, if not thousands, of abandoned homes, and there's probably food laying around or animals you can kill and eat. So I would have no sympathy, and I would not let my small town get overrun. But that's a digression, because the reality is that's just a book that really set me off, because I'm listening to the political leaders, and I'm sure at the end of the series, the president's a bad guy, and that's why he was, writing all these deals, with these foreign countries, allowing them to bring in troops to protect their workers to rebuild our infrastructure, which is all just a scam, in my opinion. Our leadership, the war that I was talking about, is being waged right now as I speak into this microphone. As you hear the words coming out of your podcast unit speakers, they're waging war against us right now. And they have been for probably 100 years, because they lost the big battle, when we won the Revolutionary War. And then, before the ink was dry on the ratified Constitution, there were bad actors trying to manipulate and screw the system up, because they didn't get the momentum and they didn't win to make us a monarchy or a socialist country back then, which socialism didn't exist really back then in the word socialism. That was a Marx concept. But, they wanted to screw things up, and they have not rested. Just because, me and you are happy watching Netflix and Hulu and wasting our time letting this fake news wash over us every day so we feel abreast of what's going on. No, they've been fighting this war for 100 years or more. And so it's gotten to a point now to where we don't see them out there doing this bad things that they're doing. They're selling our country out. They're selling our military secrets out. But that's not the only thing. I mean, we have a standing army, which was diametrically opposed to what the founding fathers wanted, because that's what they had fought against, was a standing army owned by the King of England. Well, now we have a standing army. And sure, all the soldiers are good people. I believe in most soldiers, want to uphold their oath. But they're being told that their oath of office is the president-elect is the commander-in-chief. And constitutionally, that is not so. So I talked to a gentleman the other day who's a retired Air Force guy, really nice guy, really well-educated, and we were talking about the Electoral College. And he said, well, I think it's an old concept. He goes, nowadays we have communications and there's no need for the Electoral College. Well, okay, that's very sophomoric. Yes, we have better communications than they had 200 years ago. That is true, but that is not the point. The point is the Electoral College works. It was set up that way. It was ratified. And if you want to change it, you don't undermine it. You go out and you make a constitutional amendment to do away with the Electoral College. You let 2/3 of the states vote on it, and then maybe you could talk about it. But he was all for it. He's like, yeah, we don't need the Electoral College anymore. It doesn't work. And I go, no, it works. It has always worked. And no matter if we had a billion people like China, it still works, because the way it works and the math and the numbers and how you are represented works better than popular vote. And he was arguing with me about it. And that's not the point of the Electoral College and why I bring it up. It's just, here is a man that, is highly educated. He's a smart guy. He spent 20-some years in the Air Force. He swore to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America. And he thinks the Electoral College is a bad thing. And he's bought into this sidebar issue of, well, now we have communications. But that's not the point. See, it works either way. And it worked before there was great communications. So it still works now that we have great communications. So just because you think that having the internet might make it better doesn't mean that it will be made better. it's a side issue. It's an alley that you're being drugged down to where they can beat you to death with this mindless logic, just like the Smollett case. It's like now they're going to start throwing shit and seeing what sticks to the wall. And then as we go, oh, look, that's stuck. We separate. We were divided and we start walking in different directions. And now we're no longer focused. We're no longer focused on the Electoral College. They did this back in this, you know, when they created the 17th Amendment. You lost your right to allow your representative, the man you elected or the woman you elected, to pick the senator. And the senators could be recalled at a moment's notice if they started doing stupid shit like John McCain used to do. We lost that during the 17th Amendment, and therefore Congress and your representation was shot in the head and buried with the 17th Amendment. So now the Electoral College really is at risk, because it used to be the electors were picked by your representative, the people you elected and went to school with. Gerrymandering has wrecked this system. So then you could draw the conclusion and say, well, given that all these changes that have happened over the last 100 years, maybe doing away with the Electoral College might make sense, because we don't have that kind of representation before. But you're only skimming the surface. You're not digging down and going, well, no, if we really want to fix our Constitution and save America, we need to do away with the 17th Amendment and put things straight again. And we need to stop this gerrymandering to where you have, you know, only so many representatives in a state, instead of the way it used to be for every community of so many thousand people, you had a representative. Of course, we would have a House of Representatives. Instead of having 500 representatives, you'd probably have about 5,000. And therefore, that would cause us to have to create more branches or buildings. You know, you couldn't use, you know, Congress in Washington, D.C., because there wouldn't be enough room for them all. So, you know, it fits in a neat, tidy little box that way. But the reality is there should be 15, 20 Washington, D.C.s across America to where these votes can take place with your representative that represents only 5,000 or 6,000 people. So you see, the war and the battle plan is laid out. We are distracted. I'm not a strategist. I see things. I'm a thinker, and I see this shit, and I go, if you want to fix the problem, you have to start uncovering rocks. You have to start digging down and going, well, yeah, maybe we should just do away with the Electoral College. And that's just one of the screw-ups that's being propagated on us as Americans. That's just one tiny problem we have. But you can't buy into that. You need to go, well, if the Electoral College is not working, then why is that? Oh, because we don't have representation anymore. Why is that? Because of gerrymandering in the 17th Amendment. Why is that? Can we change that? Can we put together a group of people to do away with the 17th Amendment, just like we did with the Prohibition? Yes, we can. It's possible. It's constitutional and it's legal. And it doesn't require bloodshed. It requires people thinking in the same mind stream of what's going on in America, and not all getting together on Facebook and going, what do you think, Bob? I don't know, Jane. That's kind of a cute idea, because it won't work. You'll be shut down. They're already talking about censoring the internet and URLs, just like they've done to Alex Jones, and not just him. I mean, the Winchester Rifle Channel. There was a guy had a channel for guns. They just shut him off. It's just like, he's gone. Bam, gone. End of his website, everything. He just basically, they might as well just drug him into a dark room and shot him, because he's just that gone. So this is why you can't do that. So how do you do that? You have to figure out who the hell you are as an American. What kind of patriot are you? Are you one of those limp-dick little patriots that sit there and just go, well, you know, he is the commander-in-chief. Oh, well, you know, the Electoral College, you know, it doesn't really work anymore. We have communications and we have the internet. Well, no, we really don't, because they just shut off most conservative speech on all internet channels, not just YouTube and Google. I mean, they have shut them down, marginalized them, turned them off. Facebook algorithm makes them invisible. So you're not getting the story. So that argument doesn't work because the Electoral College does work. But this pie in the sky bullshit dream that we got plenty of communications now would make it work. See, you're being drugged down a path. And so me or you or 1,000 other people can't get together on Facebook and make a change. You have to do it from within. You have to be the one in the city council meeting that stands up and goes, no. Well, why not? Because it's wrong. It's not constitutional. I'm about ready to get into a battle with my city. Hopefully not. But I've talked to some of the people on the city council and I go, if you come after me, I will bring this up with a constitutional lawyer and I will strip the town of all of its planning and zoning rights. So don't screw with me. And they're like, well, we think you're wrong. And I go, does it really matter what you think? When the courts decide, which they have done hundreds, if not thousands of times across the United States, a city cannot have planning and zoning laws to tell me what I can and can't do on my property because it defaults back to the taking clause, which is constitutional. All their little statutes and mandates and little fake-ass rules do not supersede the Constitution of the United States, and they don't even supersede the Constitution of my state, Arizona. So I told them, I go, this will not be a battle that you will win. And I will go bankrupt making sure I do win it so I help other people. You need to be that person that stands on principles and values, not just what's handy at the time. Because I could just pay, a couple $1,000, get a permit, and be done with it. No, that they've taken my property the minute I can't use my property. If they tell you in your state you can't collect rainwater, then they've taken your property. It's a property right. It falls under the taking clause of the Constitution. The state cannot tell you that you can't do something on your property because, in a sense, when they do, they've taken your property. You no longer have control of it. So, therefore, they've taken it from you. So, are you going to fight that, or are you just going to pay a little fine and then dodge a bullet and then bury your rainwater catchment system? And, I know the inspector. He's a friend of mine. He won't look. Okay, problem solved for you. But what about your neighbor that doesn't know the guy, but he wants to collect rainwater also? Well, it sucks to be him. He doesn't know my friend Bob. See, that is not America that I want to survive this coming civil war, revolution, whatever the fuck it'll be called. Because it's happening right now. We don't see it because we're kind of have blinders on. I guess the only way to say it, that's why they put blinders on a horse so that horse doesn't see what's going on around it and it doesn't get spooked. They don't want you to get spooked. Because then you might freak out and be an American and resist them. So, the quote for the day is my favorite one. Obey little and resist much. I think that's how it goes. And what it's just saying is, you don't have to obey all these bullshit laws, but you definitely must resist much of this crap that's going on around you, I could go on for hours about the FFL and all these laws with guns and automatic weapons and sawed-off shotguns. They don't apply to United States citizens. I mean, listen to the book Patriots by James Wesley Rawls. There's a really good chapter in it. It talks all about why the federal gun laws do not apply to United States citizens because we don't have to follow federal law. So, but we've lost sight of that. We've lost sight of the fact that a standing army is a bad thing. We've lost sight of the fact that having your congressman represent you used to be the glue that held it all together. It gave you representation. And with that representation, you had a voice in Washington. You picked your senators. You picked them through your representative. You went out and voted twice, I mean, once every 2 years, and that was it. You elected Bob down the street or Jane up the road to represent your small community. And she or he went and picked a senator, and the senators went to Washington and said, as far as our state goes, we're not going to do this. Yes, we'll help you with that. And then they picked senators to write the laws for Washington, and then everyone came home. That was it. And it worked. But we've lost sight of that. We lost sight of the simplicity and the pure beauty of it. You know, science will tell you the simplest answer is usually the right answer. The Constitution wasn't just thrown together by a blank piece of paper and everyone's like, well, what do you think, Thomas? Well, I don't know. Let's ask Benjamin. No, it was based on hundreds of years of past constitutions in England to where they found the problem and they addressed it. They said, okay, we had kings that did this. How do we stop that from happening in America? We had rulers and monarchs that did that. How do we stop that from happening? And you know what they came up with? Representation, the Electoral College. And that was the silver bullet that rectified all the constitutions that had come and gone before America was even created, that had a problem, and they adjusted it, they fine-tuned it, and they tweaked it. If you can't follow that, then we're going to lose. We've already lost. I mean, as far as I can feel in my heart of hearts, we have lost this battle. It still rages. But now they're just walking around with their cleanup crew shooting dissidents in the head that give them shit, you know, by like Alex Jones. Just boom, silence him. Roger Stone, boom, silence him. Donald Trump, let's silence him. Well, he's put up a pretty damn good fight as a patriot, and they haven't silenced him yet. But you keep with this apathy that's going on in America, and they will marginalize and defeat him in 2020. It will be over. That's just what their plan is. You can see it. They've said it. They're telling you, we're going to impeach Trump, and he's not going to get elected in 2020. Are we going to allow that to happen? Most likely, yes. We will allow it to happen. Because we will slowly buy into these side arguments that, well, you know, maybe the attackers wore white face. Like, who cares? You know, but that's what they do. They throw up all these pretty little balloons, and we're all watching the balloon float around, catch the current, and go over there, and we're all walking around chasing our little balloon. And meanwhile, Trump will get impeached. Might even get imprisoned if we don't pay attention enough. He's fighting the fight. Whether you like him or not, I really don't care. A lot of people didn't like George Washington, but he was right and he won. And so just sit around, continue to do what we're doing. Continue doing what we're doing right now in America, which is absolutely nothing, and it will be over. Like my partner Don says, and Two Crazy Guys, you will wake up one day in a train car heading off to Auschwitz, American style. It will be over. If we walk up and start trying to figure out how to fix this problem, and it's going to take individuals, because we know in our heart that we can't put together groups to fight this. It has to be good people doing the right thing. And if enough of them do it, even though they don't see the enemy outside, they do it. It doesn't matter their name. It doesn't matter the group that you're fighting against. It's just you're moving forward. Something is in your way. You go around it, you go over it, or you go through it, but you continue on. And if you get lost in trying to figure out, is that George Soros? Is that the Skull and Crossbones? Is that the Jekyll Island people? Is that this group? Is that the Illuminati? Maybe it's the Fabian Society. Let's spend 6 months or years of our lives investigating the Fabian Society. Who cares? They're in your way. Go through it. Get past it. Win it. And save the country. You know, otherwise, it's lost. We will wake up in our lifetime. If you're probably even my age at 65, it's that close. I might live to see it. The collapse of America. Well, we won't be America. We'll just be called the happy feel-good America. Well, we're a socialist democracy. Ain't that cute? And that's what you'll have. You will lose your right to free speech. You've already lost it. You just don't know it. You will lose your right to bear arms. You already lost that. You just don't know it. We play the game so we can own a gun and we buy their permits and we sign up for their CCWs and all this shit. But they're telling you can have a gun if this. You have free speech if you go stand over there in the free speech zone. You can have private property if you pay your property taxes and kiss the ring of the city government that you live under their rule. And then, well, we'll give you a permit. You've lost. It's over. You don't have freedom of speech anymore. Alex Jones proved that. It's over for him. I mean, he's still doing well, but the enemy raised their head and we saw how powerful they were, and they still won many of those battles. If he hadn't had such a big group, if he was just like you or I with 5,000, 10,000 followers, he would have went away. He'd have been swept under the rug. So you really don't have free speech. You just think you do. You don't have the right to bear arms unless they tell you you do. Well, if you buy a permit, look how many cities still where you can't own a gun. You don't, as an American. I'm not talking about an American that lives in a state like New York where they're still trying to take your guns. As an American, you do not have the right to just go out and make a gun yourself because you want to. Because someone will come and arrest you. Therefore, you don't have that right. You don't have a right to private property because you don't own your land unless you pay your property tax. They've taken it from you years ago. You're just paying rent. That's all you are, is a renter on the property that you paid for. And you don't believe me? Look at how many farms get lost when, dear old dad dies and the estate tax is so high that the family just loses the property. Well, you don't lose shit that you own. You lose shit that you were renting and they take it away from you. So I'm going to continue to rant on about this over time and see if we can come up with something that makes a little sense. And like I said, I'm not a strategist. I'm just making a cry into the wilderness of preppers and patriots and good Americans. It's like, stop this shit with Facebook and groups and we're going to get together and we're going to create this chicken shit little militia and then we're going to do this and that. It's not going to work. Each one of you, the one person with your headphones on right now listening to this, is the majority of one. Pick your reality. Pick your values. Pick what you stand for as an American and what you will and will not tolerate. And if enough of you pick the right side of the argument, whether it's the Electoral College, gun rights, or freedom, or property rights, if enough pick the right side, we will win. But if enough of you are fence setters or don't mind planning and zoning laws because, my property's worth a lot, and then this guy moves in next door and he puts up a double wide. What do you care? You don't own that land. He does. But if you're willing to set there because of your desire to have your property rights be a little higher because you fixed your place up, and now here comes this white trash dude that just put in a double wide trailer that's 20 years old. Instead of going over and helping him fix his property, if you want to let the city regulate him out of owning that land, then you're on the wrong side. It's that simple. If you believe a standing army is a good thing, you're on the wrong side. It's that simple. Look it up. Find it out. If you believe that being milked to death and robbed blind with overtaxation and you still feel that Social Security is a good thing, then you've bought into FDR's lie and you're on the wrong side. You need to fight these things and you need to fight them as if you really were in a militia in battle with bullets flying over your head, because they are flying over your head. We just don't see them. They're going over our head because we're too dumbed down as Americans for the last 70 years from our education system that we don't even know we're standing in a live fire zone. but there is a war going on. We are losing. It is so close to over that I can't believe they haven't just dropped the last death knell in our coffin and sold us out to China. That's how bad it is. And when you wake up and there's foreign troops in your home and land and taking over your state, you'll go, oh, geez, maybe I should have paid attention. So that's my rant. And like I say, it's a change in format. If you don't like hearing the F word, I'm sorry. Tune into another podcast. But I'm pissed off. You know, people that are passionate, sometimes they cuss. I cuss a lot. If it hurts your feelings and your sensibilities, I totally understand that. Don't tune in or edit them out and then play it for your family or whatever you want to do. But this is serious times. And there's no time for politically correct, whiny, jerk-kneed liberal thinking. You know, if you have someone breaking into your house and they're threatening your family, you shoot them. You don't sit there and feel bad and go, I wonder why he was here. If that's the kind of American you are, then we have lost. If you're willing to sell out your freedom and your liberty for security and safety, we have lost. If you need the government to make sure your power gets turned back on after an EMP, we have lost. If you can't feed your family in a crisis because you didn't even learn to hunt, we have lost. And so I can't beat this dead horse enough. It's been dead for many years anyway. I just wanted to put out the shout that there is a war going on. We're fighting the predator. We can't see it. That doesn't make it not real. It's out there. They want to take your country. They want to take your freedom, your land, everything you hold dear, and they want it. We don't know their agenda, and it doesn't really matter. But when they're in your home, you don't question the guy that's robbing you and threatening your family. You drop them, and you move on with your life. And that's what we need to do here. There are enemies. We need to drop them and move on with freedom and liberty. Well, I hope you all enjoyed the rant. You can tell I'm a little pissed off. Been talking about politics with Don and the two crazy guys, and there's just so many issues. We never have a shortage of things to flip out about. Listening to that book really set me off, and I'm thinking, you know, our government is just selling us out, and they're doing it, and it pisses me off. I want to thank all my listeners for the last years and years of my sporadicness. You stick in there, you hang out, you listen to my podcast, even though they're once a week, once a month, or once a year. You're the best. I try, but like everyone, I get discouraged. I will try to improve and get a little bit more regular with my content, because I really believe there's a war going on. And I will do my small part in ranting about it and telling us maybe how we can fix these things. Like I said, fight your local government. Find good sheriffs. Find good people to run the community that you live in, because they're the politicians that can really put a hurt on your life. So get good ones. Let's win this battle. One county and one small town at a time. And remember, a country boy will survive. And that's because they live in small rural areas. You can be ready to survive. And if everything collapses, you need to be able to take care of your family, the people closest to you when you wake up in the morning and you look around, your family. So if you're a country boy, you'll survive because you know how to hunt. You know how to find food. You know how to take care of your family, whether the power grid is up or not. We don't need this bureaucracy called the federal government. We really don't need it to be that big. We can all do just fine. The next podcast I want to put out will be more about something I've been thinking about as far as, you know, our power grid and the collapse that's coming, and how our government always wants to be there to put back all the pieces. And it seems like there was a president years ago that told people, head west, young man. And they went out to the west. They fought the same threats. They had, you know, savage Indians, as they looked at it back then, that were, you know, killing settlers and stuff. They had to find their own food. They had to find their own water. They had to build their own homes. And the government wasn't there. Communities came together and they built towns. And every once in a while, they needed a federal cavalry to come in and help them fight the big battles. But the little ones, the what we would call today gang violence and problems within a community, the small town handled it themselves. They didn't need a big federal government. Every once in a while, when there was an uprising, they would send in the cavalry, and that's what a federal government was for. We have a cavalry. Let's send them in to put down this Indian uprising and protect the settlers. And then they left. The cavalry left. They went back to Washington or wherever they were from, and they left the town alone again to settle its own problems, to figure out its own lawsuits, its own juries, and its own justice system, to put roofs over their heads, to build schools, to build churches. The federal government has lost sight of the head west, young man mentality, to where we don't need them. And they didn't need to be there to hold our hand. So I wanted to kind of look into that, because a lot of these books I listen to have that same mindset. It's like, you know, the federal government wants to swoop in and make everything all better. Well, sometimes in a collapse, the best thing they can do is stay out of our way. And every once in a while, when we need some help, send in the troops, put down the uprising, whether it's a giant gang or a bunch of looters, help the community, and then leave. That's the problem. The government just doesn't leave anymore. They just stick around like Darth Vader. So you guys enjoy your time until we are together again. Thank you all for listening. I totally appreciate it. I know I'm sporadic, but there's you guys out there and gals that are followers that have put up with me for years. And up, you know, one day, lots of podcasts, and then down the next where I'm blue and pissed off and aggravated. But we all know the drill. Just get organized, get educated, learn, find a value system, make that your focal point and follow it, and don't let anyone pull you off course. And until we get back together again, enjoy the apocalypse.